All right. Greetings, everyone. I hope you can hear me. I'm happy to see you
all.
I hear
you loud and clear. Good to see you.
All right. Glad to hear you can hear me loud and clear. Hi, Kathy. Thanks.
Hey, Will.
All right. So we're going to get started. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is our first Thursday of the month. This is November 4th, 2021, and this is our World Peace Satsang Meditation Time. Oh, I think it's something we can all really enjoy and get into right now. I know I can. I'm just glad to see you all. Let's go ahead and kind of get ready here. I'll go ahead and get started. I think the main thing here is to take some time to connect with our own true nature. That's the idea here. So this has been a month since the last time we had this, and it's been quite a month, I think, for all of us. I know there's been, in our community, there's been some sudden illnesses. We want to hold everyone in our prayers, of course, for that. And there's been, I know, challenges of many kinds. And I just send my love to all of you. It's been a beautiful time too. With the summit went very well, and it seems like we were able to reach quite a few people with the vegan message of compassion and freedom and respect for the sovereignty of individuals. With that, and it has been quite a bit of news about an awareness, I think, which is good, about the prevalence of vivisection and the violence towards animals in laboratories. So I'm going to go ahead and get started now for the, with the meditation time. So feel free, if you'd like to just however you'd like to do it with your video, you can leave it on or you can turn it off. We'll be kind of turning our attention within here. And I'm sitting at the piano. This will be about the last time we'll be able to do this for quite a while, maybe until March or April, because Madeline and I are heading out in our little microvan in a few weeks. So I'm really appreciating this beautiful piano here. All right, so we can begin our meditation time. Let's become aware now of our breath. With every exhalation, letting go, letting go of anything that brings us out of this present moment. This present moment, the moment where life happens, following our breath, allowing our breath to become quiet. Letting every exhalation be a letting go and a purification letting go of any extraneous thoughts, any extraneous habits. The great wisdom of letting go. Every breath we let go, purifying our body temple, our mind and our heart, entering more deeply into the stillness of our heart. Where we dwell always in unity. With the infinite source of all life. With all manifestations of life. Abiding in our true home. Abiding in the heart of being. At peace. In this present moment, there is just this moment. We can savor this moment together. That we are here. What a miracle that is. We can completely marvel that we have found each other, kindred spirits on the path of awakening, on the path of awakening our compassion and our wisdom to be a blessing in our world. So we let go of any obstacles to our compassion, letting go of any obstacles to our wisdom, heart now to fill with every inhalation with a feeling of love and kindness, loving this moment, this precious opportunity. Precious human birth with all of our challenges, we embrace the opportunity to be a light of kindness in the world, of understanding, of peace and harmony. To create beauty and so we now just open to this feeling of love as active benevolence that we allow now to radiate with every exhalation. Breathing and radiating love and kindness. And we allow this feeling of love to radiate out, especially to those beings that we refer to as animals, and just bringing to mind now an animal who we have loved. Can be a domesticated animal or a wild, free-living animal, whatever comes to your mind and heart. Sending love to this being, kindness, benevolence, goodwill, wishing them happiness. And allowing this being to now be a lens. And through that lens we radiate love into the entire world of living beings we refer to as animals, all of the birds, around us and in the world, celebrating their lives with their amazing abilities, all the birds as they abide in the sky or wherever they are, and all of the marine animals, celebrating their lives in the waters of the earth, sending them love and appreciation. The amazing infinite variety of life. All the animals on land celebrating their lives here in the forests, prairies, in the mountains and deserts. We especially send our loving kindness and respect and goodwill to all the animals that are used by us, human beings, for food, the birds and land animals and marine animals, and we send our apologies . We send our love also now especially to the animals used for products of any kind, for clothing and so forth, and the animals being used in laboratories and being abused in the name of science and consumerism. We see them whole and complete and beyond merely the physical bodies. We see their beings, the beings of all of these expressions of life. And we salute that in them. We thank them for their presence in our world, radiating the beauty and innocence and creativity, the loving kindness, the example of harmony that they bring. their tremendous intelligence. So we hold the entire earth now in our heart. Not only all the animals, but all the ecosystems, the rivers and mountains. And we hold the whole human family also in our heart now with love for every human being. Allowing our mind and allowing our heart to send loving kindness to every human being and every living being. We exclude no one. Like the sun and the moon and the stars, just radiating the light of our true nature in every direction, and sending this love also to ourselves, the unique and beautiful being that inhabits this body that we think of as ourselves. And now allowing our heart to get brighter, filling with the light of creative loving kindness to bring inspiration into every moment of our day. And so we open now to the tremendous intelligence that inhabits every cell of our physical body, that inhabits the natural world around us and the universe of which we are a part. And we give thanks knowing that at any time we can connect with the infinite healing power that brings everything in our world into harmony and supports all life. The infinite intelligence and creative power all around us is also within us, allowing any illusions or delusions, any fears to evaporate. And rising up higher in our awareness to a higher level, entering into a sense of communion with our true self, the being that we are, the being who is never born, who will never die, beyond a name or a form, the witness the love, the joyful, wise being incarnating, learning and growing, contributing, witnessing, reminding us of now of our purpose. Take a moment now and just allow the music to open the inner doorways of understanding, to connect more deeply with our true nature, our unique mission and ministry and purpose for this lifetime. Abiding in our infinite field of awareness, in the true home, and remembering the truth. So long covered over, by the cultural programs, connecting with the joy that is always shining in our heart, and the love that we have for all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be in harmony and at peace. May all beings awaken to the truth. So now, we give thanks for our precious energy that every day we can open to a new chapter. We allow our heart now to fill with compassion, the energy of action, to be creative and to do the best we can, to make our efforts to relieve the suffering of others, to remove the ignorance in our own minds, to see clearly the true nature of others and of ourselves. We allow compassion to radiate from our heart in all directions, blessing all beings with our yearning, and all beings be free from suffering. Radiating joy, that all beings be established in the truth. The joy of being, the joy that needs no reasons at all in the outer world, the joy of our true nature, the joy of savoring the beauty of the trees and stars, savoring of our own breathing, and peace. So allowing our minds to slow down now to the heart of harmony and peace, feeling that our physical heart always beating regularly, that there is a tremendous wisdom directing every function to bring harmony. And we know that our consciousness is established in harmony. And through our consciousness in harmony, we let go of any grudges towards anyone, let go of any wounds, that what we are is forever undamageable by anything in this world. We are at peace with it all. And we know that in whatever the future is, it'll just be right now. our conscious awareness established in the truth of being. We send forth loving kindness and respect to all beings, remembering the big picture, of our true nature, so as we bring our meditation now to a close, we feel our hearts radiating loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace in all directions, in all circumstances. We give thanks knowing that we can contribute to the field of compassion that is always growing in our world, knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. That the entire earth is within our consciousness. So we give thanks for each other, for all of our loved ones, for all of our teachers, for all the teachings that awaken our minds and hearts to the truth of being, for those who have gone before us and helped to prepare the way of wisdom, to those who are to come. We give thanks to all of the animals and to the infinite source of all life, and for this precious opportunity to be a part of the awakening of human consciousness on this earth at this critical time. May we remember always our purpose. For the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing this is so. And so it is. Well, thank you all for joining us in our meditation time. And we have, as I was saying before the meditation, we have an adventure coming up. Madeline and I, we're going to be getting in our trusty little micro van and leaving on the 19th, which is just a couple of weeks away, and heading down to Southern California for some events there, some lectures on being healthy vegans, with some wonderful people, Lisa Levinson, who's got the vegan spirituality group going, and Charlotte Cressy, who's also involved with that. And then we're heading to Arizona for some more presentations in Phoenix and in Tucson, and then over to Texas, to Austin. There's a wonderful group there that's celebrating Thanksgiving. It'll be right after Thanksgiving, actually, in Austin, and then up to Tyler, Texas, to the college there. And then we're heading up to Unity Village. Some of you know Unity Village. It's the headquarters of the Worldwide Unity Movement. And I've been asked to give a presentation to the staff there on Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's teachings on veganism. And so this is, I think, a wonderful opportunity. It's the first time we've really ever had something like that in Unity, where they're having an official, someone from the outside, which is, I'm not really at the outside, but more or less coming in to plant the seeds with the staff and the board of directors and everybody and the official people at Unity, that a critical fundamental part of the Unity teachings, the spiritual teachings in all their centers, which is over 800 centers around the United States and worldwide, to include compassion for animals, as the Fillmores really originally taught for decades, until it was kind of phased out back in the 1950s and 1960s. So Madeline and I are thrilled about that this is going to be happening. And then we'll be heading after that to Alabama to do a lecture there, believe it or not, Alabama, and then to Florida. And we'll be in Florida for several months. My mother is still going relatively strong. I mean, I can't say too strong, but she's with my sister, and she's, what is she, 94 now, I guess, and a longtime vegan, and is in good spirits. She's pretty much confined to bed, so we'll have our digital piano on the roof, and we'll be bringing that along and playing my mother some music, and then going to Hippocrates and being there for a couple of months and doing lectures and concerts there, and at all the different veg fests in Florida. Some of you met Mike Young, who's got about, I think, 15 veg fests scheduled in all over Florida in December, January, February, and we'll be coming back in March. So our upcoming events with you folks on our meditations on the first Thursday and then the third Thursday, Lopi's Diet Circles, will be from the road again, from somewhere. Yeah, I'm not sure where, but I'm sure it'll go well. So we're facing unprecedented challenges in the world right now, and I think we all know about that. And it's important that we stay strong. This is a spiritual challenge on every level, and to remember the ancient wisdom teachings that always remind us the truth of the wisdom of patience. You know, every Wednesday, I say something for patience. You know, there's something in the Buddhist tradition called the six paramitas, which is the six perfections, the six powers of our mind, of our true nature. Dana, which is giving, is the first perfection, and that's for Monday. And I love that one because that's the wisdom of letting go, giving, being generous. Giving of our time, our treasure, our talents, our life, however we can, to others while we're here. The more we give, the more we receive. And so that's giving on that level, but then at a deeper level, knowing that the three elements involved are of one essence, that the giver and the gift and the receiver are fundamentally not separate. It's one being, just one being there, not three or not two. To remember that, otherwise our giving gets polluted with we want something in return, or we think they owe us something, or who knows what. So the whole idea to try to understand what giving really is. And then the third level, the highest level of giving, is simply remember that there is no greater wisdom than the wisdom of letting go. This is true giving, dana. And when we let go, and let go and let go, then we have a mind that can awaken beyond the delusions that we're in. There's a great story about the Buddha who met someone who wanted the teachings, and the guy was carrying some things that he had with him. And so the Buddha said, "Well, yeah, I can teach you, but first you have to." He kind of looked at his left hand and said, "You have to drop it." So he dropped what was in his left hand, and then he looked at his right hand and he said, "And you have to drop it too." So he dropped that, and then Buddha looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Now drop it." And I don't know if that's an actual true story, but we've heard that in various places over the years. But the basic idea is that we need to actually drop more than just the physical accumulations that we have. It's the deeper clingings that are much harder to let go of. So anyway, that's dana, the first day. The second day is sila, which is ethical living, treating all beings with kindness and respect. And then the third one is kshanti, which is patience. And it's let us treat all beings as the Buddha, seeing through the spell of appearance to the essential reality in which there is fundamentally no individual, no fundamentally separate self. Let us remember that patience is humility, a basic acceptance of this present moment as the perfect unfoldment of life and love, and that it is also an accurate mirror of our present state of mind, and thus continually helps us to grow in wisdom and compassion. So this, I think, is something that I really strive to try to remember, that whatever I'm seeing in the outer world, that on some level it's a mirror of an aspect of consciousness. So instead of blaming and shaming and criticizing whatever's out there outside of me, or even necessarily falling in love with it, whatever it is, but to realize that the world in a very profound way is a manifestation of our own consciousness. And sometimes we might protest and say, no, that's not me. That's nothing to do with me. But I think if we're careful and look deeply, we can find roots of many things. And we don't know how long and how ancient our consciousness has been experiencing things, and the seeds that we have sown in other lifetimes perhaps are blossoming in our experience now. So it's important, I think, to always remember that it's not so much what happens in our life, it's how we respond to it. It's our response. We can't really in any way control what arises in our life. Things will arise. We may think it's fair or unfair, or it shouldn't be happening, but what we can have power over is how we respond to the situations. And so that's the key thing. I think that's when we're planting the seeds for our future experiences, as well as blessing others and helping them also. So to not be lost in delusion by thinking we're fundamentally separate from other beings. So Wednesday is the day of patience. Thursday actually is the day of zealous effort, virya paramita. So that's always a good thing, just to remember that every day we can make an effort. It's very easy, I think, for us to forget that, to think that, gosh, you know, I've done enough in my life already. I'm going to relax now. And unless we're completely enlightened, it's probably a good idea to put forth more effort, because we can always grow and learn. And I've just found over the years that the more effort we make, at least that I make, the more energy I have. Ultimately, energy is not something that you lose. Like, it's like love. You know, it's not like you give so much love and you don't have any left. The more we give, the more we get. So same thing with energy. So the more we exercise, for example, the more energy we'll have, the more we put out there, the more it comes back. So zealous effort. Friday is dhyana, which is meditative equanimity, very important foundation really of spiritual awakening. And to take time, even while we're active, to to be in a listening mode and to be receptive, to cultivate stillness, take time every day to meditate. I think that's critical. Quite honestly, I know maybe many of you meditate regularly. I really can't say enough about that, because if we fail to meditate regularly, I think it's difficult for us to really have a solid foundation to understand ourselves. The mind is so deceptive and slippery and is always quick to fall into old habits and delusions of blame of ourselves or others. And if we can't watch that and see that happening, if we don't understand how that whole process works. So I think, really, quite honestly, a regular practice every day without fail. I'm not to be in any way, I don't know how to say this. But anyway, I think, quite honestly, from 1975, when my brother and I left home, till today, I don't think there's been one day when I didn't meditate for at least 45 minutes to an hour. I think, you know, it just has to happen. And it's nothing to be proud of. I'm not proud of, like, brushing my teeth every day or whatever, but it's just for general basic hygiene. You know, it's like, it's non-negotiable. Get up early, got a plane flight at 4, get up at 3, you know, 2, whatever. So to just take time to connect with our true nature, with to be quiet, to listen. So great. And then Saturday is the day of, it's called Samadhi, which is really stillness and stability of mind. Excuse me, it's prajna, the wisdom that comes from all of this. And this is not just having a quiet mind, but looking deeply and beyond the surface of things. That's something that's sorely lacking today. People are not looking deeply. They're just being so gullible and believing the authorities, believing the official narratives, only seeing a hamburger and not the being, only seeing a story and not what's really going on, what's really in the medications that we're supposed to be putting into our physical body. I mean, what's really going on? We have to look deeply. We have to cultivate wisdom and get beyond the shallow surface. And so all these things work together to allow that. And then the seventh day, Sunday, is the simultaneous practice of all the paramitas through cooperation and beneficial action. And that's really true. I think every day really is we try to do these, engage in these behaviors and remember these truths. So that's the underlying idea here, really, I think, with meditation, is that it's part of a whole fabric of our life. And the more we cultivate meditation, the more the whole fabric is enriched. And the fabric of our life is infinitely interconnected with everyone around us. Whatever we say or do or write or our gestures, how we live our lives, it affects others. So, and then whatever we sow, we reap. So maybe, I think, it's getting dark here. You can probably tell the sun's just went down here in Northern California. So the picture of me is probably going to get more and more grainy there. I'll go ahead and maybe just close with just reading one chapter from the Dhammapada that I thought, I looked at it right before our meditation, and I thought, you know, this is really a good one. It's called Evil. And I like this one because it's just a reminder somewhat of what I've just been saying. And it's really, I talk about this, I think, a lot in the World Peace Diet too. It's known as the boomerang effect, which is so important to understand. So I'll just say this here. This is chapter number 9 or section 9 from Dhammapada. Be quick to do good. Restrain your mind from evil. When one is slow to make merit, one's mind delights in evil. Having done something evil, don't repeat it. Don't wish for it. Evil piled up brings suffering. Having done something meritorious, repeat it. Wish for it. Merit piled up brings happiness. This is basic, but man, we understood it. Even an evildoer may see benefit as long as the evil has yet to mature. But when the evil has matured, the evildoer will meet with misfortune. A doer of good may meet evil fortune as long as the good has yet to mature. But when the good has matured, the doer of good will meet with good fortune. Okay, so this is really like an important point. Seeds take time to mature, right? They may mature very quickly in a few minutes. They may mature, who knows, in a few lifetimes. So remember, though, all we can do is plant the seeds. And whatever we've planted in the past, whatever the group karma is from the past, we can respond to that and plant more seeds. And remember that. That's the power. It's our capacity to plant seeds. Don't disregard evil thinking, it won't come back to me. With dripping drops of water, even a water jug is filled. Little by little, a fool is filled with evil. Don't disregard merit, thinking it won't come back to me. With dripping drops of water, even a water jug is filled. Little by little, a sage is filled with merit. As a merchant carrying great wealth in a small caravan avoids a dangerous road, as someone who loves life avoids poison, so should you avoid evil deeds. A hand that has no wounds can carry poison. That's really a good one. Now, that's very profound. Poison does not enter without a wound. There are no evil consequences for one who does no evil. This is about the vibratory level of our consciousness. If we're vibrating at a relatively low level, and we have fear inside of us and distrust and so forth, we're going to be attracting. I mean, it's going to come. That's just how it is. So, again, the whole idea, that's why meditation is so important, and the quality of our consciousness. It manifests. So, again, the beautiful thing about all of this is that the power is with us. The power is in our awareness and doing the best we can moment by moment to actually live in accordance with the wisdom that is our true nature. And notice here, if you look carefully, evil and good are basically skillful and unskillful actions. It just causes suffering or it causes happiness for ourselves and others. That's what it is. So when we harm others, we're going to cause suffering for them, but for sure for us. Like fine dust thrown against the wind, evil comes back to the fool who harms a person who is innocent, pure, and unblemished. Some are reborn in a womb. Evildoers are reborn in hell. People of good conduct go to heaven. Those without toxins are fully released in nirvana. So the toxins here, we're not talking only about, obviously, physical toxins. We're talking about the toxins that have to do with the way we're perceiving the world and others. You will not find a spot in the world, not in the sky, not in the ocean, not inside a mountain cave, where you will be free from your evil karma. And this is the last little bit here. You will not find a spot in the world, not in the sky, not in the ocean, not inside a mountain cave, where death will not overtake you. So this is kind of an important point here, that we really are called to do something that very often we don't do in our society, to have the bigger picture and realize our life is fleeting. We're only here for a few short decades. We will definitely all be at that point when we leave the physical body. We will definitely be born. Consciousness always has a vehicle. What kind of a vehicle are we going to be having? What kind of a realm are we going to be inhabiting? It's really going to depend on our consciousness, on how we lived our life. So we can't ever outwit the universe or think we can get away with anything ever. I mean, we can outwit other people, we can manipulate situations and so forth, but in the big picture, that's not going to happen. So I think this is the beautiful thing, is to realize that the more we awaken out of the state of fear and separation, and practice kindness and compassion, especially to those who are at our mercy, the more we're planting seeds of liberation. And to exemplify that, to share that with others, to try to do the best we can to live this in our daily lives, I think is what really brings radiant health, not just health of the body, but health on every level. So here we go. I've maybe talked too long, but I'll stop here, and I'm happy to open it up for any comments or questions people have. We do try to keep this to an hour, and the one we do on the third Thursday, we have 90 minutes. But it's just really an honor, and I'm so grateful that you've joined me here for the we've all joined together here, really, for this meditation time. Does anyone have any comment or question you'd like to share? We have a few minutes, it looks like, and happy to do that. Otherwise, we can just be, and the silence has always got the greatest wisdom of, you know, there's an old saying in Zen, as soon as I open my mouth, evil springs forth. The basic idea is if we try to verbalize and confine into concepts the true nature of being, we're never going to do it. We're going to always muddy the waters. But anyway, we do the best we can to remember. So again, I'll just see if there's any hands up. I don't see anybody. That's good. Okay. Well, we can take this into our coming few weeks or a month, whatever it is, until we see you again. I think that, like I say, these are the most challenging times probably we've faced as a global human race, maybe ever. I think it's, as I've been saying it for decades, that if we're going to insist on sowing the seeds of violence and imprisonment and forced medication on billions of beings, we're going to face the consequences right here. And so hopefully we can continue to raise awareness and people can awaken out of this trance that we've all been put into, the spell, really, of fear, fear of nature, fear of germs, fear of each other, fear of animals, fear of the future, you know, all these fears, and just stand in the present moment, stand up for kindness and love and fearlessness, really. We have nothing to be afraid of, ultimately. We have, when we understand what we are, our true nature, when we connect with that, we can see that we have one purpose, which is to fulfill our unique mission of how we can best be an agent of healing and awakening and loving kindness. And we can do that when we bring that forth in ourselves as well. So thank you everyone for all your efforts. I know that our efforts together are much greater than just our individual efforts. I really appreciate all your support with the summit that just ended, and we want to keep that going. People are translating that, and we want to find ways to keep the teachings going forth of the importance of honoring and respecting the individual sovereignty of all beings. That's really the key of what veganism is. It's individual sovereignty and respecting that, our individual freedom, and connecting with the truth that each one of us can make our own choices about life and that we allow others to do the same thing. So these are things that are really being threatened at this point in the outer world. So it's important to redouble our efforts, I think, to connect with the truth that we are. So Madeline is right here. Let's close with our prayer. You can unmute your microphones if you would like, everybody, however you'd like to do it. And we can say our prayer for compassion that we say every day at noon. I think you all know what it is. Let's say it together. Compassion
encircles the earth
for all beings everywhere. Wonderful. Again. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Thank you so much. And as I look out at your beautiful faces, I'm really reminded that you all have such beautiful, unique talents, and you're contributing those, and that's tremendous. So keep up the great work you're doing. Go forth and multiply the message. And we'll stay in touch. Much love to you all. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha. Aloha, Kenny. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.